Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, June 21st, 2009. It's now 7:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, this evening we're going to have Mr. Mac Halls. He's the Vice President of Programs with the Campaign of Liberty to talk about House Bill 1207, the Federal Reserve Transparency Act, and I believe he's on the air right now. Matt, is that you?
Hello, sir. Yes, it is.
It is. Good evening, and thank you for joining us here on Liberty Talk Radio.
Oh, good evening. Thanks for having me. I'm on a cell phone right now, so I hope my reception is coming through okay.
Reception sounds pretty good. Just let me remind our audience that we have a call-in also this evening, and our call-in number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Don't be shy out there. Give us a call with any of your questions or comments. I guess this evening we're going to talk about House Bill 1207, are we not, Matt?
Right, yes, sir.
Okay, I just gave a brief introduction that you're the Vice President of the programs for the Campaign for Liberty, which is one of the Ron Paul organizations. I guess it's not a Ron Paul organization. It's one that supports Ron Paul. Am I correct?
Correct. Ron Paul is actually the honorary chairman of it.
Right.
And it was formed, actually, the day after the presidential campaign ended is when we really got going. So it sort of came out of that, and it's really taken off ever since.
Very good. Well, Matt, I have, I'm sure as our listeners do, many questions about 1207. Can we turn over this program to you for you to give us some background, give us a definition of exactly what 1207 is expected to accomplish, and then we'll ask our inane questions from there. We will stop every 15 minutes for station identification. I know you only have about 20 minutes to be with us, but if we do go over a little bit and you're still available, that'll be okay.
Okay. Yeah, that should be fine.
Fine. Well, the mic is all yours.
All right. Well, H.R. 1207, its official name is the Federal Transparency Act of 2009, and at Campaign for Liberty, in all of our talks about it and a lot of our literature, we've referred to it simply as the Audit the Fed Bill, and that name has really caught on, especially in a lot of media coverage recently. So they'll refer to the bill title and refer to the bill number and refer to it as the Audit the Fed Bill. So just to give the best background, I'll back up, actually, few decades here to 1978. 1978, a law was passed called the Federal Banking Agency Audit Act, and that act allowed the Comptroller General of the United States, who is the head of the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, allowed them to audit the Federal Reserve. However, at the same time, they also put heavy restrictions on what they could actually audit.
Okay.
And so those restrictions. Actually, just got a list here. I'll just read through real quick of what they're prohibited from auditing. GAO is prohibited from auditing any transactions for or with the foreign central bank, foreign government, and non-private international financing organization. It's prohibited from auditing deliberations, decisions, and actions on monetary policy matters, including discount window operations, reserves of member banks, securities credit, interest on deposits, and open market operations, as well as transactions made under the direction of the Federal Open Market Committee. and it's also prevented from auditing a part of a discussion or communication among or between members of the Board of Governors and officers and employees of the Federal Reserve System. And finally, they're prevented from conducting on-site examinations of banks or bank holding companies without the written consent of whatever regulatory agency may be appropriate in that case. So the law allowed, it opened things up a little bit, allowed them to audit, but of course put these restrictions on them. And as Dr. Paul said in the past, the GAO is allowed to audit the Federal Reserve, except they can't audit pretty much everything the Federal Reserve does. So they're allowed to see the balance sheet, and they're allowed to see, you know, what's spent on certain things and if they're conducting business according to the law. But they're not really allowed to get in there and see what the money's being used for, how it's being dealt out, who's getting what. And especially recently, this bill has really become important because of what's been going on with the economic crisis.
Right.
We've had the Federal Reserve off to the side doling out trillions of dollars.
Right.
And their balance sheet has gone from about $800 billion to Bloomberg estimates by the end of this year it could be as much as $3 trillion.
Right.
And so all of this money is going out there, and we have no idea how they're specifically dealing it out. So we know they're giving it to banks, to financial institutions, but we have no idea who's getting what and how much they're receiving and how much the American taxpayers are being put on the hook for. And it's especially become concerning because the Federal Reserve Chairman, Ben Bernanke, has been called up in front of Congress several times this year. And one time in particular, he was asked directly by Senator Bernie Sanders, who are you giving this money to? How much are you giving them? You know, you spent over $2 trillion. Who's all this,
right,
you know, going to? And Bernanke's first words were, no, you know, I can't tell you that. I don't believe it would be a good thing to tell you that. And so we have the central bank that's in charge of our nation's money and credit. So, you know, in charge of something pretty important. And they have the ability right now to come before Congress and say, no, we will not give you certain information.
You know, this
is... they have the ability.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Matt. I stepped over your words, Matt. Continue.
No, that's fine. I was just going to add in that they have, you know, they have the ability to come essentially before the people of the United States and tell them we're not going to give you the information that you want to know.
Right. You know, if I was naive, I would say, Matt, thank you very much. That's a nice story, but that's not possible. I mean, it sounds unbelievable. It's not a credible story. No, I believe you. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it is so outlandish, it is so inconceivable that we have the bankers controlling our money supply, and we ask them, oh, by the way, what are you doing? They say, I'm sorry, we can't tell you. And then we have a Congress that will support that. Apparently, there have been bills before Congress before, and those bills never made it out of committee. I guess what my question is, and the thing that I just cannot understand, is what representative of the people of the United States would block under any circumstances an audit of the Fed, even if it was an audit in which that seemed to be unreasonable, if you will, although I can't imagine one. Why would anyone, one senator, one congressman, ever say, no, I think that's a bad idea? Do you have any idea?
We had a few people that we've, you know, our supporters have contacted asking the co-sponsor, and they've written back saying, you know, they were concerned about it. The biggest reason that we get back from legislators who don't want to get on board is they say that they're afraid of threatening the independence of the Fed. So they feel that it's important for the bank to be able to make decisions independently, and that if Congress had access to all of it, that this ability would be threatened and that our monetary system would be put at risk. So it's actually the most revealing quote I've seen so far came from Senator Lamar Alexander. He was asked about S-604, which is the Senate companion version to H.R. 1207. And his response essentially was that Congress had no business poking its nose around in monetary matters. So,
if they don't, who does?
Exactly.
Do I have the authority?
See, that's that's the amazing part of it is, you know, we have these representatives we send to Congress to be in charge of, you know, things like our nation's money supply. And here they are, you know, saying that, oh, that's none of their business.
Well, so I can understand if... Yeah, I can understand, Matt, excuse me. I can understand if we insisted that we audit the Bank of France or something like that. You know, I mean, the Central Bank of France. And it's none of our business. They're, you know, a sovereign nation. They have their own banking system. You know, bug out. We right. interfere with every country in the world, nearly, and we tell them what the hell to do. But yet, in our own country, we don't want to question the very people who are handling our money. And they are private. I understand they are private, sort of a cabal, if you will, made up of the big money changers of the world, like the Warburgs, the Rothschilds, etc., etc., Morgans, and whatever. And yet, this all smacks to me, and I'm going to get conspiratorial for a moment, but this all smacks to me of we're not going to do this because monetarily this will cost me, or somehow this will cost me. It has nothing to do with right. the good. I used to be an internal auditor for a fully integrated oil company, and we audited everything. Everything. And the worst thing that we could have done is that if we announced 3 months in advance that we were going to show up, because everything became fine then. And this is from being a past internal auditor, the whole thing is inconceivable to me.
It really is amazing. And I think it's, so far, the operations of the Fed, it's been very convenient for legislators to excuse it and say they have nothing to do with it. And I think it's something that people don't usually give too much thought to. So it gives politicians the ability to go back to their district, say, during this economic crisis, for instance, and say, you know, I've been doing everything I can, and those, you know, bailing out those companies, oh, that was the Federal Reserve. You know, and that's their thing. They control monetary policy. And a lot of people, you know, unfortunately will leave it at that because they don't want to get into the details of the Fed and all it does. And so it's been very convenient for them to just kind of play it off to the side and say, this is something I'm not involved with.
But why is it convenient for them? I don't even understand that. If they just said, yeah, let's audit the Fed, and they go home and watch, Dancing with the Stars. I mean, what do they care?
Right. It's easy because I think a lot of people just were so used to the way the system is that a lot of people just kind of let it go at that. Well, that's monetary policy. That's something I can't understand. My congressman, you know, he's the one that can best understand that. So if he thinks it should be something left to the Fed, then I'll trust him on that. And so people, it's kind of funny because, you know, we hear politicians called all sorts of names by everybody, you know, for very good reasons. But yet at the same time, there's a certain amount of grounds the majority of people have been willing to give them. And this has been one of the issues. I think a lot of it is people just don't understand what's really going on. One of the most eye-opening things during Dr. Paul's presidential campaign, and even now in the campaign for liberty, is when you really sit someone down and you explain to them how our money is based on nothing.
Right.
But promises by bureaucrats that it's worth something. And once people understand that, they get more interested, and they get more interested, and it really starts opening eyes. And so politicians have been able to get away with it so far just because the Fed can kind of be off to the side, shrouded in a little bit of mystery. And it's become comfortable for them, I think. And I don't know, it may be unsettling to some of them that's being threatened a little bit now.
Matt, excuse me for being a cynic from New York City, although I live in the wonderful Tulsa, Oklahoma. But excuse me for being the cynic. But I can't avoid smelling a rat somewhere. I mean a real rotten rat, other than, oh, well, it's always been that way. I think there's more going on than that. I mean, I don't know. Believe me, I'm not the expert. I know as much as the man on the street about 1207. But from what you say, it just reeks. There's got to be, you know, whenever there's a, nothing in politics happens by accident, and if you even want to know why it happens or who did it, just follow the money. 100% of the time, I'll beat any odds in the world, and I'll bet any amount of money, I'll bet my life on it, and I always will win. Well, if you take that as even quasi-correct a paradigm, you know, you would say, well, there's got to be a lot of people doing it for reasons other than they're kind of lazy congressmen. Even to the point where if I was a congressman and I wanted to go into office and I knew that my opponent didn't want to audit the Fed, I would make an issue of it. But they don't make an issue of it for a reason. And there's got to be this underlying reason, whether it be fear, whether it be monetary gain, whether it be, and I don't know what it is, as to why they wouldn't do this.
Yeah, I think it's, a lot of times I think it is just genuine, you know, unawareness of what the system really is. And a lot of them have been educated in economics to a certain extent where they think it's okay anyways. So they think that whatever the Fed's doing is fine. They think it's the best thing to do. You know, I liken it to Keynesianism.
So yeah.
Keynes' theories have been pretty well destroyed by everything that's been going on. But there's people still out there adamantly defending them because it's what they've been trained to do. And I think a lot of the congressmen, a lot of the senators have just been trained that, you know, this is the Federal Reserve. They are the ones that take care of the monetary policy. They know what's best on these issues, and they need to be out there spending this money. And I think a lot of them have just been willing to kind of let that go on over to the side.
I tell you, I'm from the streets of New York, Matt, and I think there's something behind this. I'm telling you, I really think this. I think it's got to be fear. I mean, even if you're a good guy and you want to do the right thing, somebody's telling these guys, sure, you can vote for it. Sure, if it gets out of committee, you know, like my Uncle Louis, he used to belong to a very large international company organization. You understand what I mean? He was the only rotten one in the whole family. Everyone else was good, hard-working slobs. Everybody worked 7 days a week to support their family. Michael Louis, he was a real character. And I used to tell people, he taught me a lot because I saw him once in a while, and every time I saw him, he made me laugh. But he was serious, you know? And I learned one thing. Whenever they said something nice about you, you disappeared, you know? You know, they say things like, you know, you're such a nice guy. I hate to see anything happen to you. You know, you knew it was all over, you know? If they argued with you, they liked you, you know? And what my point being, telling you all my personal history, is that I can't, you know, when you talk about this stuff, what I envision in my pea brain, you know, in the back part of my brain, it's the only part that's functioning now, is I can hear this conversation, you know, of saying, you know, Senator so-and-so, you know, sure, we'll audit the Fed, you know, but you're such a nice, you're young, you know, I hate to see anything. I can envision that happening, you know. For some reason, and maybe that's overreaching, but something along those lines that makes it not very palatable to vote for this thing. Because I can understand some people saying, hey, I don't want to do it, but you got hundreds of people in Congress, you know, all representing you and me. And they're all going, I'm too lazy. I don't understand economics. Money's okay. Just print it. I there's something wrong. I'm going bananas. I'm sorry I'm going bananas, but it just bothers me, you know?
No, I definitely understand. It's kind of the same with a lot of, you know, other issues where congressmen have been unwilling to pursue things because the leadership's put pressure on them, you know, to kind of let things go. Because the Federal Reserve is, you know, so powerful that to challenge it, you know, the way we've done with this audit bill is just, it's hard to go about it and to really make a lot of progress, because a lot of people are willing to let the status quo go. And if they push things too much, it's like, you know, some of the bills that have come out in the pike in the last couple of years here. You know, they come in, they get rushed through Congress real quick because the congressmen don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to risk, you know, losing funding for their district when it comes up again the next time. And so, again, I think a lot of it just comes back to the status quo is in place. It keeps all the power in D.C. and it keeps it in very concentrated hands. And they've been used to that for a long time, and they're not willing to let it go. And so political pressure is applied. And that's one of the biggest challenges we're going to have to face going forward. We've signed up, you know, an amazing amount of co-sponsors. We're up to 237 now. So over half the House is all on right. board with that.
All right, we want to come back to you just in a second. I just want to stop, Matt, excuse me. I need to stop a station identification. Everyone's hollering at me here. This is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our guest this evening is Mr. Matt Halls. He's the Vice President of Programs with the Campaign for Liberty. We're talking about H.R. 1207. That is the Federal Transparency Act, or Audit the Fed Act. And quite frankly, folks, I think I have just lost my mind. 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please call with any questions or comments you might have, even if you're becoming quite insane as I am. Now, Matt, what kind of response are you receiving from these congressmen when they finally acquiesce and say, yes, let's audit the Fed? Do you go to them and say, why haven't you done this before? Or what made you change your mind? I mean, it would drive me nuts if they want to do it now. Why didn't they want to do it 5, 10, 20 years ago? Do you have any feel for that?
I think what's really done it is the economic crisis.
Okay.
Now they're really seeing these Fed leaders come before Congress and tell them directly no about lending out all these trillions of dollars, whereas that hasn't really happened all that much in the past because it hasn't been such a pressing issue. And so, for instance, Representative Alan Grayson, who's been great in defending 1207, I believe he's a Democrat in Florida. Recently, the Federal Reserve Inspector General came up before his panel. He asked her the same questions: where is this money going? And she didn't know. And I think it's been a real eye opener because the situation has just presented itself with all that's going on. And so, a lot of them are thinking and seeing it for the first time that they aren't telling us what's going on, and they're getting more pressure from home because the trillions of dollars are starting to add up with all the spending. And I think it's caused a few more eyes to open to what's really going on.
Well, you said the magic word before. They didn't want to bother with the Fed because the Fed was powerful. When you say the Fed is powerful, what are you saying? What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that they're in charge of our money.
Money. You know, I can call the Fed chairman and say, hey, you're a punk. I mean, what are they going to do to me, you know? Unless you say they're really powerful, I go, oh, I know what you mean. But when you say powerful, you see what I mean? I mean, so what? Mm. We know they're powerful. They handle the money more powerful than I am. You know, my wife gives me enough money to go to Starbucks, you know, once a week. So, you know, this is how powerful I am. But I'm only kidding, by the way. But but I'm just saying that when you say that the Fed is powerful, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. I'm saying that when we say that, you know, we have to define what we mean when we say powerful. Because if we just say powerful in that they're, what? I mean, for example, I know organizations that are very powerful, Matt. You know what I mean? Extremely powerful. And then when I say it that way, you say, oh, Joe, I know what you mean without having to say anything. Are you telling me something without saying anything?
Not really in that sense. What I mean by powerful is, again, that they're in charge of our nation's money, and really with the way they've been let go ever since their creation back in 1913, they are absolutely the most powerful unchecked institution in Washington. And, you know, they've liked it that way for a long time. So they're in complete charge of our money. They've enabled this big boom and bust that's caused the current economic crisis. So what I mean by that is that the power they have is probably the greatest power in D.C. because it is so unchecked.
The power to do what? This is my question. The power to do what? It can be powerful. I mean, the President of the United States is powerful. I can get on the street corner and say, the guy, I don't like the guy. I mean, so he's powerful, you know. Now, if I knew that if I went on the street corner and says, hey, you know, I don't like the president, some goons were going to come over and pick me up and put me away and my wife will never find me again, I'd say, they're powerful. I'd say, what are they going to do? So who cares if they're powerful? I mean, when we say that, we got to that has to have a negative connotation to me. They're powerful, you know. My Uncle Louie, you know, as screwball as he was, you know, he died about 40 years ago, you know. He was powerful. You know why? Because you did something wrong. You found up with a body paled in paper, you know what I mean, from the New York Refuge Association. But, I mean, that he was a powerful guy. And so you never always said, hello, Uncle Louie, you look so nice today, you know. So I'm saying, so they're powerful. Mm-hmm. Big deal. I mean, I don't care.
The largest Yeah, I mean, they're the largest unchecked source of power. I mean, even with Congress, you know, Congress votes these billions and trillions of dollars through, and they have to come back up for re-election. They have to face the people at some point. And the Fed, you know, these leaders are, you know, appointed by the president and checked by the Senate with the advice and consent of the Senate, but they don't have to account to the people like representatives do.
Yeah.
So they have this power, and they're sort of just off to the side. You know, people don't know a lot about them. They don't know as much as they do about some of the stuff that goes through Congress or how Congress works. People don't understand it. They've got an awful lot of defenders in the media who have been trained that this is the best way to run an economy. So they have, you know, very good PR whenever you try to challenge them. So that's really what I mean by power, is they've just got so much they don't have to account for, and they're allowed to do a lot of this unchecked.
Yeah, it's an unconstitutional situation. We all know that. I mean, but we're not going to argue the Constitution on this program because we'll go round and round. So, you know, it's an unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the Federal Reserve will take care of everything and don't screw with them. I mean, there's nothing in there
right.
about that. Unless I misunderstood something. What does this tell us then about our legislators themselves? If we say that these guys, most of them went to law school. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the drawer, you know? In fact, I don't think I even have a point on my pencil. You know, these guys passed law degrees at the bar exam. I couldn't pass a bar exam for all the time. And you put a gun to my head, you say, shoot, you know? I even left me 100 years to study. I'll be honest, I couldn't do it. I'm not that smart. You know, these guys are not dummies. And yet, we're saying these guys who basically have master's degrees, if you will, because a law degree is like having a master's degree. They're in Congress, you know, they're well-schooled, you know, the bling, bra bang, bra boom, you know, they got everything, you know, they're good speakers, they're campaigners, they're worldly and the whole bit, and we're saying that they don't understand the Constitution, that they don't understand monetary policy, they don't understand the Fed, they don't understand their constituency. What the hell are they doing in Congress?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing
is just the way, right? I mean, it's just the way they've been educated. I mean, they've been educated to believe that the Constitution, you know, isn't a rigid set of guidelines and rules that they have to follow. It's more, you know, it's more open to their interpretation. And even with monetary policy, a lot of them, you know, I would say a lot of them do understand what's going on. They believe this is the right thing to do. Again, going back to Keynes, they believe, hey, let's just pump the trillions of dollars in, let's save these institutions. And some of them aren't as concerned about it because they think, at the end of the day, they're doing the right thing. And so it's really just the problem, you know, with the big government philosophy that's permeated through education and the training that a lot of these people have received. So bad economics and just bad history in some cases, in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Oh. Matt, you and I come from different neighborhoods, I can tell you that. You know that? I come from a rough neighborhood, the streets, you know, and we're skeptical of everything, you know. Someone says, hey, good morning. You say, what do you want? You
know?
I can't get this out of my head. This is driving me. Hold on a second. I have someone in my studio here who wants to ask a question. You want to ask a question? Okay, here we go. Here we go. Someone wants to ask a question.
Hi, Matt.
Okay.
I'm Aaron.
Hi.
I'm Joe's wife. And I just wanted to ask, what sorts of activity do you think would help rein in some of this extraordinary power that these people have?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question entirely. I'm on a cell phone, so it's a little...
Okay, I said, what kinds of activity might rein in these people with the exorbitant amounts of power? I mean, what can the people do to improve our situation?
Well, for instance, I think especially getting behind a bill like 1207, originally I laid out all those things that the GAO isn't allowed to audit, and 1207 removes all those restrictions. So getting behind bills like that, contacting people in Congress to get on, and making sure these bills go through and they get voted on, if 1207 were to pass, that would be a huge check on the power they've amassed. And it would give the ability, you know, for Congress to have the GAO go in and check out exactly what deals they're making with foreign governments and exactly who's getting the money and how much of it they're getting. So I think that's one thing we can do, is we can pass good legislation like 1207. And then the other thing is to really just educate people, start spreading the word, talk to everyone possible about it.
All right, Matt, let's...
So the more people...
Okay, go, Matt, I'm sorry. Go ahead, continue, please.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, again, you know, like I was mentioning earlier in the presidential campaign there, the more people started to understand what's really going on, the angrier they got and the more involved they got. So Dr. Paul had a very, very diverse coalition.
Right.
So he had, you know, people coming together on all sorts of issues. But the biggest issue that drew people together was economics. And it's the biggest issue he got a response from during his speeches. So that was, it's pretty much the one thing everybody gets on board on. And so it's been a lot of fun, really, to watch eyes just open to what's going on. And so I'd say, you know, getting behind good legislation again, just spreading the word on what's really going on and educating ourselves and just educating everybody around us. And that really helps to build the movement and really helps get things going.
Right. And I tell you, I applaud you guys. We're financial supporters of the Campaign for Liberty. And, of course, I've always been a supporter of Ron Paul as well. Another question?
Excellent.
Can you tell me the names of any other organizations that also are behind the Bill 1207?
Recently, we ran a letter in the Washington Times, and we had about 60 other organizations that signed onto the letter. So places like Freedom Works was on the letter. We have our sister organization called Young Americans for Liberty, and it's been a hugely diverse coalition. A lot of the names are just slipping my memory right now, so I'd recommend people to go onto our website, campaignforliberty.com, and we posted a while back, I believe the article ran in May, we posted a link to it on our website with a list of the organizations. So if you go on our website and run a search for the coalition letter for 1207, you'll see a lot of those organizations that have joined on. And it's all diverse, too. It's a lot of organizations from the right and a good amount of organizations from the left have come together, too, on this.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Let's stop for station identification one more time. Folks, I know you're out there. You usually call in, and now all of a sudden you're dumbstruck. Okay, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. We have as our guest, and we are so pleased to have him here this evening. Mr. Matt Halls is the Vice President of Programs with the Campaign for Liberty, and we are talking about House Bill 1207, also known as the Federal Reserve Transparency Act, or better known also as Audit the Fed. And please call in 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. We have four open lines. Folks, use them up. Come on, don't let them rust. Let's assume that everything, the ball keeps on rolling. Optimistically, what is the time frame that we're looking at by the time this thing becomes approved or whatever, or gets out of committee and whatever becomes, however the legislative process works? How long are we taking? How long are we looking?
It's a little bit hard to gauge right now just because we're in the summertime with all the different activities that are going on. And President Obama's really tried to switch the focus over to health care and passing that through and getting some form of bill by the end of July. So a lot of the attentions of the committees and the legislators have turned to that.
Okay.
The ball keeps on rolling. I'm hoping for the next step is to get hearings in the Financial Services Committee. And Representative Barney Frank is the chairman. He's promised us hearings if we could show enough support, which obviously we have. And so we're really right now thinking we could probably get hearings in the fall and get the bill to the House floor. And we hope to start our efforts really soon on S-604, the Senate version. And so I really think we can get something done on the House bill. Hopefully everything goes well by the end of this year. We have the House bill on the floor. And then the Senate's going to be a little harder to get co-sponsors on and get it through the system, I think. But optimistically, I think things can move pretty fast once Congress gets back from their August recess.
So by the time we get the Senate and everybody else on board and get it approved, then does it have to go to the president or what? Or what is it? What happens then after
right.
the Congress approves it?
Right. Once 1207 is approved by the House and 604 is approved by the Senate, it'll go, they're both the same bill, so most likely they'll go to a conference between the House and the Senate and try to talk out any changes that somebody's tried to make to the bill.
Right.
They'll go through a conference process, and then once that's done, I believe it goes back, I'm trying to remember exactly, I believe it goes back for another vote and then to the the president's desk.
Oh, but on to me. Hey, this is, you know what? I'm going to be in the nursing home with this. Now, is Obama and Biden and Pelosi, are they behind this thing?
Pelosi was asked about it the other day, and she said that she didn't know anything about it so far, but she gave some lip service to Fed transparency.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Okay. I don't think she understands where she is. I mean, you know, it's a flake.
Yeah.
All right. What about Biden? What do you think Obama's position is on this thing? You guys have a feel for that?
Right now, I would say that he'd probably come out in opposition to it.
My God, why would he, the President of the United States, why would he be in opposition to it? You know, I think I know why.
Right.
They don't want to find this body trying to swim across the Pacific Ocean. That's why. But go ahead.
Yeah. Now, again, it's just more of that economic theory he's been trained in, so we see what he's been doing with the economy already.
Jeez.
And so he would probably take the line as well about threatening the independence of the Fed. And that's why we're hoping to get more people on board and just make the support so overwhelming that he would pretty much have to sign the bill at that point.
Okay, if all this thing comes to pass, comes to fruition, as they say, and the House passes it, eventually the Senate passes it, you know, I'm dying in the nursing home, Obama gets it, you know, all this thing comes, right? About how much time? Round figure. Are we talking about a year, 2 years, 5 years? What? What are we talking about?
Most realistically, once everything gets through, it's going to be into at least next year before.
Okay. So we're talking about
thing would get to Obama's desk.
A year to 2 years.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
By that time, wouldn't the Fed be covering everything up? I mean, wouldn't you know, by that time, wouldn't they be jockeying them? I mean, to me, this is, you know, if when I was an internal auditor, you know, if I said, hey, in 2 years, I'm going to come to your department. I tell you, when I got there, it'd be the most pristine department in the entire international organization. You wouldn't find paperclips facing the wrong way. You know, I'm sorry. You know, Matt, I'm getting too old. You know, I'm just getting too old. They should shoot me or put me out to pasture or something like that. I find it so disconcerting that we have representatives that will not represent us, that are fearful for some unknown reason of my Uncle Louie and the Fed, you know, and then they come across as if they're, you know, bleeding for us. What it tells us of our legislature is what the organization GOO, you know, get out of our house. Get rid of all of them, you know, and I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Matt, I tell you, this is unbelievable. Now, I had another question. All right, here's the big one. All right, it passes. Even Obama says, hey, guys, you know, hey, Matt, I think this is a great idea. Thank you very much for helping out with this thing. He signs it. Go. Then what happens? Once it's approved, then
it would be right. Then the GAO has all these restrictions removed. And I think what it would take at that point is Congress asking them to audit certain things, and now the GAO can go in there without the restrictions and audit. So no matter if they were to go back and cover up things, the GAO would be able to look into current operations and see what they're doing.
Okay.
So these restrictions would be removed entirely.
And you don't think there's going to be any hanky panky there?
Well, knowing how things usually operate in D.C.
Yeah, I mean, you see where I'm coming. Even if we go through all these gymnastics, and I applaud you guys, you know, I support you guys. But what I see is that we're going to go through this for years. It's almost like a diversion, you know, and everything's going on. Then when
right.
we get there, we eventually get there, and we say, okay, send them out, you know, send the troops out. The cavalry is coming. They go over there,
right.
and everything gets so watered down, and everything, you know, whatever happens. And I've been involved in that stuff, you know. And all of a sudden, they come back and go, oh, everything's okay. You know, we found Bobby had 10 more paper clips than Harry, and that wasn't nice, and we square that away. And that's the end of that. The paper clips got equalized, you know? You know, just like they want to do with everything else. I'm sorry. Tell Representative Paul, Joe Cristiano is too much of a skeptic. You never want to speak to him again. And I don't blame you for saying that. Is this
that's the problem. I mean, we know how much their balance sheet is swollen, so we know they're out there spending money. And, you know, no matter what, this would allow the GAO to go in and see who's getting this money. Yeah. So we would still, you know, I don't think there's any way really around that. The GAO would be able to see and report back to Congress on exactly which institutions are receiving what money.
Yeah.
And with what the Fed does in the future, the GAO is going to be able to go in there and look at all the details. So you know, we know they're billing out the money. We know roughly how much they've spent. And so, you know, we get to go in and actually take a look at the books and see who's getting what.
All right. Now, for the benefit of our audience, the GAO, folks, is the General Accounting Office. And, you know, God bless them. I know very little about them. Probably know everyone else doesn't know anything about them either. But let me be a critic. I'm going to put my skepticism in the closet for a minute. It doesn't fit, but I'm going to try to close the door. Put it in the closet. Now I'm going to be the critic of the day. Is that why did we come out and say audit the Fed? Why didn't we come out and say dissolve the lousy thing? I mean, it's a no good dissolve it. You know, shut it down. We print our own money. You know, preferably we have a currency that's backed by something, goose feathers. I don't care what it is, anything at all of value. And, you know, we dispense with all this folly law. You know, when you say powerful organization, I know what you're saying. I know how I interpret that. That means you don't screw with them. You know, that's basically powerful, you know. Just like you didn't tell my Uncle Louie what to do. You know, it's something you didn't do. You know, you say, I love your tie, Uncle Louie. Could be the worst tie in the world. Greatest tie, and I love you. Look beautiful, you know. I mean, that's power, and you're afraid of that power. But why don't we go in there and say, dissolve the ugly thing?
But at the same time, we are. I mean, Dr. Paul's got another bill in that would end the Federal Reserve System entirely. And he's often said, and we've used it, you know, the line before as well, that an audit is just the first step to ending it. So it's a lot easier to get people behind an audit of the Federal Reserve System than it is to get them behind ending it.
Because
even these congressmen that are curious about what's going on and want more access to the books aren't exactly in support of ending the system entirely yet. And so we believe that this is one step that we could take that would put a big check on their powers and open a lot more eyes to exactly how they're spending the money and what's going on.
Yeah.
It would help a lot more people realize the extent of their powers. And I think once those things are out in the open, Dr. Paul says frequently that he believes that once those things are out in the open, public pressure will build up a lot more.
Okay.
Just to do away with the system.
Yeah. Well, one of the last questions. When this thing comes to fruition, will I still be alive?
We believe so.
Okay, believe so. I hope so. All right, I just hope it won't, you know, be to a point where, you know, I'll lose all my hearing and my senses altogether.
It's moving very fast.
Okay, good. I'm relying on that because I'm going fast. You know that, Matt. Is this a partisan issue? Is it a Republican, Democrat, or whatever issue? Or is everyone about in the same boat?
It's mostly a Republican issue. We've got almost all the Republicans in the House on board, but we've got a lot of Democratic co-sponsors as well. I believe we're up to 68 Democratic co-sponsors right now. And so it is initially more of a Republican issue because they're more willing to look at, you know, look at things closer to our perspective. But it has, like I mentioned with the coalition letter, it has brought a lot of groups and a lot of people from the left on board with it.
Yeah,
and again, Representative Alan Grayson, who's a Democrat, has been one of our biggest supporters in getting more momentum for the bill. So even if, you know, going back to what we just talked about a moment ago, even if they're not willing to end the system, a lot of people look at this and say, hey, we need transparency. Transparency is a good thing. Obama's promised us transparency, so we need to get behind this.
Yeah.
And so that's really been a key in getting a lot of people from the left on board.
Okay, I'll give you my conspiracy issue, a portion of this whole thing, okay? My conspiracy version is that the Fed owns our government. Our government really selects who becomes president somehow through money or whatever the case may be, and they run the show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's crazy. You hear that all the time. I might as well say that. I don't know if that's the case, but boy, it's, you know, when I hear you talk, And who's for, against, and whatever, it sure smacks that off. You know, it just smacks that all over the place. And I don't like conspiracy theories because most of them are just wacko and crazy and all that, and the divergence from what we really should be doing. But, man, it just drives me nuts. Okay. I had another question. I absolutely forgot. It fell out of my head. You see how I'm aging as we speak, Matt. This is not good. Okay. Well, you know, you've been with us for about 40, 45 minutes. I certainly appreciate taking all your time. We overstepped our boundaries. I guess I owe you something, don't I, for coming over and staying over your 20 minutes. Is there anything you have to tell? I'm glad you. I that was great. You know, and I applaud you. I respect what you're doing. You're a better man than me. I couldn't tolerate it. But you want to spend just a couple of minutes or so, or whatever you want to talk about your organization, where they can reach you. If you need monetary support, I'll give you the mic on that.
Okay. I would just ask everyone in the audience to go check out www.campaignforliberty.com and the four is spelled F-O-R. So that's www.campaignforliberty.com. And our mission statement is that we're an organization committed to lobbying and educating specifically about the issues of sound money, protection of civil liberties, and reinstituting a non-interventionist foreign policy. So we really, we're a grassroots organization. We have what's called the local coordinator program. So it's where people go out into their regions, and they knock on doors, and they get people signed up, and they hand out literature, and they get things organized. And so it's everybody's really involved on a local and a state level. We have a bunch of different state partner groups that are set up across the country. And so it's all about taking things, you know, right in your backyard, getting in touch with people, and, you know, educating and opening minds to the truth. And it's just all about going out and reaching out to people. And eventually, the more people we educate, the more we lobby on, we'll bring real change and true lasting change to the system.
Yeah. You know, I tell you one thing. We could speed up the whole process. If my Uncle Louie was alive and you commandeered him and went around to say, you know, we want you to vote for this, you'd get 100% participation, I can guarantee it. Let me ask you, do you ever get to see Representative Paul?
Yes, sir. Not as much. I used to work in his congressional office, so not as much, you know, as I did there, of course. But on a frequent basis, I get to see him at a lot of the events we have, and I get to talk to him from time to time. So I get to stay in pretty frequent contact with him.
All right. Well, if you can remember, and you know, if you can, it'd be great. Tell him Joe Cristiano, Liberty Talk Radio, sends his regards. And Matt, if you would email me a mailing address and your T-shirt size, I'd like to send you an official Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. And if you know Ron Paul's size, I'll send you one for him. And if you ever see him, you can pass it on to him as my compliments. How about that?
Oh, sounds great. Appreciate it.
Okay, great. Well, Matt, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. We certainly do appreciate it. And thanks for taking all of my bantering. You know, you took it very, very well. You're a good man. Okay, thank you very much, and good night to you.
Thanks for having me on. Good night.
Wow. Does this country have a problem, folks, when our representatives won't even represent us? And folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. We just got off the air with Mr. Matt Holes, Vice President of Programs with the Campaign for Liberty. I guess chaired by, I guess it's, he's the honorary chairman, it would be Congressman Ron Paul. And they are trying to get the Fed audited with H.R. 1207, the Federal Reserve Transparency Act, also known as Audit the Fed. Now, hold on a second. Aaron, did you have anything you wanted to say? Nope. Okay, my wife is speechless at this time. We will continue our broadcast on Sunday at 7 o'clock rather than 8 o'clock. I'm more awake, and I think we'd get better participation. So we're going to do that, and we certainly appreciate Matt being on the air with us this evening. We'll be here for another couple of minutes, 646-652-4620. If you have any questions or after-call questions, you can do that now. I think what I'm going to do on Thursday morning is talk a little bit more about the Cash for Clunker program. Boy, if there's one stupid program that really got under my skin, it's that one. Now, believe it or not, we're on the market for buying a car. My wife's car's got like 2 million miles on it, and it's, you know, it really, she really needs to get replaced, and we've been talking about it for a year, and we don't do it. And we've been looking for a car, and most likely we will qualify for the program. And from a moral point of view, I don't feel really good about that. So I have really deep-rooted problems with this whole program. I think I'll continue talking about that this Thursday morning. It'll be 6:30 Central Time. I'd love for someone to call in and, you know, chime in and tell me what you think and give me your thoughts, because right now mine aren't very good. They're not very negative. Erin, is there anything you want to say? Okay, she's speechless. So am I. I guess I'm finished for this evening. We're going to end a little early this evening. So we're going to end our broadcast. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, but let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned. Her hair blows in her face from the side.